Welcome. You are listening to a sermon from Christ Chapel Barrie. Listen and be blessed.
I see the tears falling. I see the tears falling. I see the tears falling. I say that Jesus is falling.
In the book of Acts chapter 16, the Bible says Paul and Silas were cast into the prison. And they began to sing, they began to praise in the prison. And the Bible says suddenly, what happened? There was an earthquake. Their chains were falling off. Whatever held them down was broken. It wasn't just Paul and Silas were the only two that were praying. But when the earth was shaking, every prisoner received his freedom. And that tells me something about someone here today. The reason you've been praying for so long and it seems there is no result is because you have not been praying for yourself alone. You've been praying for an entire household. You've been praying for an entire family. And so you expected your overnight result. But it has not come. But today you will get your result.
Amen.
Because as you shout hallelujah right now, you know whose chains are also falling? It's not only yours. Everyone associated with you.
Amen.
Their chains will fall today in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We are going to shout only three hallelujahs. As we shout those hallelujahs, you will hear the news.
Amen.
The testimonies will come. So somebody praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. That was a good try. Number two, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Chains are broken in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Numbers chapter 16, verse 12 and 15. We are going to pray. Numbers 16, verse 12 and verse 16. As I was preparing the message for today, this passage kept coming up in my mind, and I know that God wants to do something in someone's life here today. Numbers 16, 12 and 15. 12 says, and Moses sent to call Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, which said, we will not come up. Verse 15. And Moses said unto Korah, verse 15. Is that it? And Moses was very wroth and said unto the Lord, respect not thou their offering. I have not taken one ass from them, neither have I hurt one of them. You are going to pray this morning and say, Father,
Father,
respect not
the prayers of the enemies
concerning me. Open your mouth and pray.
Father,
in Jesus' name. You know, we may look at this and say, why will God answer the prayer of somebody who is praying against me? The question I want to ask you is, do you know the Bible more than Moses? Moses was the one here telling God, do not respect the prayers of these conspirators concerning me. He must have known something. Now, if we take it a step further, in 2 Kings chapter 3, 26 to 27, the Bible tells us the story of the king of Moab who was fighting with the children of Israel. The Bible says, when he could not break through, what did he do? He took his firstborn, his heir to the throne, and sacrificed him on the wall. And when he did that, the Bible says there was indignation against Israel. And they turned back. Are we together? Is it that God accepted that man sacrificing his son? But he presented a greater sacrifice. It was not a right sacrifice. But it was greater than anything that the children of God were willing to do. And so you as a child of God, with your 10 minutes prayer every day, with you that God will wake you up at midnight to pray and you just turn your back and say, the Lord is good. Meanwhile, the person that is fighting you is awake every day and is chanting your name from 12 midnight to 2 a.m. You now see why you need to pray? You need to say this? We don't have much time. But somebody said they wanted to attack a church. That church was praying continuously for 90 days. And they wanted to attack the church. The church had prayed for about 21 days. Remaining 21 days. If they successfully pray for that 90 days, some things will happen in the kingdom of darkness. So what did he do? He took a fast. This one is a satanic person. No? He said it himself. For those 21 days, he was ready to fast without eating. Just chanting, releasing incantations against the church that was fasting. Did he succeed or not? He succeeded. How did he succeed? They just sent one young lady to the pastor. And the young lady came to the pastor, bought a car to the pastor, got a new apartment for the pastor, gave the pastor money. Somebody in the congregation saw that this lady was on a bit of hair. But pastor said, who is the pastor? I am the pastor. I've been praying for blessing. Blessing has come now, and you are jealous. That was how that congregation was what? Scattered. So do you understand what we are saying? That prayer point is very important. Pray it as if it's important. Say, Father, do not respect the prayer of the enemies concerning me. Open your mouth and pray. Open your mouth and pray. Do not respect the prayers of the enemies concerning me, O Lord. In the name of Jesus. Do not respect the prayers of the enemies concerning me, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we are praying. Say, oh Lord, respect not the prayers of conspirators against me. In the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and pray. Respect not the prayers of conspirators against me. Ma pose keleba soto lena itragabo. Relia kapos kelena itragabo. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we are praying. There is someone in our midst. There's a conspiracy going on in your place of work. If you pray this prayer, you will see the answer to this prayer this week. God will comfort for you in the name of Jesus. Say, Father, respect not the prayer of conspirators concerning me in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Zekalia masoto lenda intragabo. Repasoto le indragabundoria. Respect not the prayers of conspirators concerning me, O Lord. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we are praying. Those of us from God's own country, at midnight when they carry calabash with all those things, and they go and put it at the... what's the English word? The T-junction. They go and put it there. That is a sacrifice. Is that also? And if the sacrifice is accepted, somebody will go for it. Say, Father, respect not their sacrifices in the name of Jesus. Every contrary sacrifices, every sacrifice from the pit of hell against me, against my family, against Christ Chapel, respect it not, respect it not, respect it not, respect it not. In Jesus' name we are praying. That 2 Kings chapter 3 verse 26 that we read. The Bible says, when the king of Moab saw that the battle was too sore for him. Brethren, there comes a point in time that the battle is too sore. In other words, too strong for you. That the battle is beyond your preparation. You say, Father, when the battle is too sore for me, arise for me in the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and pray. When the battle is too sore for me, when the battle is stronger than my ability, arise for me, O Lord. arise for me. When the battle is beyond my power, arise for me. Mirakato le masoto lenda itragabo. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we are praying. You say, Father, your son has died for me. Reject every sacrifice of the enemy concerning me. Your son has died for me. Reject every sacrifice of the enemy concerning me. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Your son has died. Jesus died for me. Mazekere masoto. Le roske maskapori masoto le naria. Eprosikalia andragabo. Your son has died for me. Reject every sacrifice of the enemy concerning me, O Lord. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we are praying. Amen. You know the thing that we say the guy is mad. When we say he's mad, we are not talking of madness the way we say it in God's own country. That is, maybe he's angry. He's angry with you. And you say, Father, silence every wrath of the enemy. Concerning me. In the name of Jesus. Silence every wrath of the enemy. Every wrath of the enemy. Concerning me, O Lord. Silence. Silence. Every wrath of the enemy. Concerning me. In the name of Jesus. Mazoniba kakoria mashata lendaria. Silence every wrath of the enemy concerning me. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name, we are praying. Amen. Father, we thank you. We lift your name on high. Accept our thanks in Jesus' name. As you go in church, go with us. Let your name alone be glorified. None of us will live here the way we came. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's have our seats. Let's have our seats. We are welcome in Jesus' name. Every prayer you have prayed, the God that answered it by fire will answer you by fire in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Job chapter 1, verse 6 to 12. Job chapter 1, verse 6 to 12. Job chapter 1, verse 6 to 12. Last Sunday, we were looking at what we call a day in the court of heaven. In continuation of our series, Lord, teach us to do what? To pray. And today, we are looking at what I call another day in the court of heaven. There are different circumstances that will come across in the court of heaven, that will come across before the Lord. Different arguments, different cases. Job chapter 1, verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an edge about him and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth your hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will cause thee to thy face. Verse 12. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Praise the Lord. In the case of Joshua, the high priest that we looked at last week, this was Satan coming, the Bible says, at the right hand of this man directly to accuse him. And say, this one is a sinner. He doesn't deserve anything from you, O God. In the case of Job, Job had a testimony. And the devil just came to complain that, God, you are taking too much care of this one. Let me deal with him a little bit and see if he will still hold on to you. What we have that Job did not have is who? Jesus. We have an advocate that Job did not have. And so Satan presented his argument against Job. But Job had a testimony. Job had what? And what was the testimony of Job? Number one, the Bible says there was none like him in the earth. And that's very important. Do you know that there's none like you in the earth? Are you aware of that? You are unique. Tell somebody you are unique. Tell the person, I am unique. Every one of us is uniquely created by God. And that's what we must not forget. That's why you don't go about comparing yourself with someone else. Your path is different. Your destiny is different. Your challenges are different. Your battles are different. The only thing that comes together is the fact that victory is assured. Tell somebody victory is assured. No matter what it is you are going through, we have an assurance of victory. Because we serve a God who never fails. If anybody tells you that once you become a Christian, all will be rosy, the person is lying to you. But the point is, once you become a Christian, you are assured of victory. You just need to look at the example of Job we are talking about. He was shaking, seriously, but he did not deny his God. Some of us, we have not even been shaken. Just seeing that trouble is on the way, what do? We deny God. We deny God and say that is, that. What do we call it? You call it wisdom. If there's anything called foolish wisdom, the Lord will help us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Job was unique, and so are you. We are looking at the testimony of Job. The Bible says, number one, Job was perfect. Job was what? And we know, brethren, for you and I, that perfection is a command. Tell somebody, perfection is a command. If you look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 48, Matthew 5, 48, the Bible says, be ye therefore what? Perfect. Even as your Father which is in heaven is what? You know, the Bible is complete. It's not, let's accommodate it. No, the Bible says, tell your neighbor, be ye perfect. That's the word of God. That's the word of God. And somebody gave a very good example. He said, when you see an apple fruit on the tree, when it's still, what do you call that? Pollination has just taken place. It's very tiny. It's green. You can't eat it, right? But it is perfect. As it continues to grow, it becomes what God has intended that it should be. Even after it grows and is matured, it still needs to get to a point where the taste will change from that whatever the taste is, sour taste, to the one that you can taste and say, oh, this is sweet apple. There's a process involved. The same way for each and every one of us, we are called unto perfection. Tell somebody you are called. Unto perfection. When you are perfect, it means you are holy. It means you are holy. And we know 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 to 17. He said, as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. So the number one area where many of us fail as far as holiness is concerned is where? Is how we use our mouth. It's what we say. Be ye holy in all manner of conversation. We say many things we ought not to say, and then you say you are joking. You say many things you ought not to say. You want people to just think that, oh, that guy is funny. Funny. Being funny will not take you to heaven. No. There is nowhere in the Bible. The Bible says every idle word that a man speaks, he will do what? He will give account. There's this story that they tell, that when the man starts saying that the chicken in Mecca is this tall, what is he talking about? He's exaggerating. Exaggeration is a sin. I mean, it's most likely the guy doesn't even know where the airport is. But he will tell you that the chicken in Mecca is this tall, because they say Mecca is what? Is their holy land. Is somebody with me? When you talk too much and you expect people to laugh and they don't laugh, what will you do? You begin to embellish it because you just want them to laugh. And when they are tired of you, I say, this guy will not just isn't that funny? It's not funny. Tell somebody it's not funny. There's no virtue in it. There's no virtue in it. Job was perfect. And we are called to be what? Perfect. Number two, Job was upright. Upright. What does it mean to be upright? It means he was blameless and a man of complete integrity. I love that word, beside that integrity. When you say someone is a man of integrity, that alone is sound. Is that not so? That is yes, is yes. And what? But we are told that this man was a man of complete integrity. So integrity in the home. Integrity at the place of work. Integrity in the church. Integrity at school. Integrity on the road. Many of us feel that one. Is that not so? Including myself. The speed limit is what? What is the speed limit in front of the church here? 50 kilometers per hour. And you are coming at what? It's only 75. It's only 75. So that even when you get to the traffic light, it's difficult to press the brake. Integrity. Tell somebody integrity on the road. Complete. Job was a man of, the Bible says, complete integrity. That is what uprightness is. Proverbs 20 verse 7. Proverbs 20 verse 7. He says, the just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. So, we have an assurance here from the scriptures that if you are a man of integrity, your children are blessed. Your children will be blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. Now look at that same Proverbs 11:3. Proverbs 11:3. He says, the integrity of the upright shall guide them. The upright man, brethren, is a man of integrity. And look at the corollary. But the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. Which means the opposite of an upright man is what? Is a transgressor. Please ask your neighbor, are you upright? It's very important. Because if you are not upright, the Bible says you are what? You are a transgressor. You are a perverse person. That's what the Bible says. You are lacking in integrity. Job was a man that was upright. Number three, he feared God. We're looking at his testimonies. His testimony. He feared God. He feared God. Very important. Ecclesiastes 12, 13 to 14. Ecclesiastes 12, 13 to 14. He said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. In other words, you cannot say that you fear God without doing what? Without keeping his commandments. It's very important. He said, this is the whole duty of man. You were born, I was born, to do what? To fear God and to keep his commandments. Not to be found wanting before him. He said, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. No wonder the Bible says that nothing is hidden. Everything is revealed before him with whom we have to deal. Brethren, if Christ tarries, every one of us here, in, say what, 60 years' time, who will have gone? Is that not so? The question is, where will you be? Where will you be? Are we going to look around and say, ah, bro, you are here, welcome. My sister, you are here, welcome. Oh, it's wonderful to make it. Will that be the story we are telling? Or are we going to say, oh, when I see my sister, I say, where is bro? So and so. I say, ah, he didn't make it though. If you've not seen him, he left 10 years ago. Where is sister so and so? Ah, he's only a sister in church. Oh. That sister is a wolf. A ravenous wolf. That will not be your portion in Jesus' name. Amen. Every secret thing, whether good or evil,
God will bring every work into judgment. So it's very important that we fear God. Because if you fear God, those things that you thought you are doing in secret that God will not approve of, will you do them? Somebody talk to me. Will you do them? Because you fear God. When Sister Potiphar came to Joseph and said, come lie with me. What did Joseph say? Say, how can I do this evil? And sin against who? He didn't say, I'm sin against your husband. He said, how can I do this wickedness and sin against God? If you fear God, you will realize that all those secret escapades, all those secret sins, they are not against your wife. They are not against your husband. They are not against your children. They are against who? They are against God. And it's only secret today. It will be revealed tomorrow. Please tell your neighbor, fear God. In Luke 23 verse 40, when Jesus was on the cross, the Bible says one of the thieves on the cross said, JP, you say you are the Messiah, whatever you call yourself. Deliver yourself and save us too. But what did the other man say? In verse 40, the other thief answering the book, he said, don't you fear God that you are in the same condemnation with this man? This man who was a righteous man, in other words, many of the words that we speak is because we don't fear God. Please ask your neighbor one more time. Do you fear God?
Yes.
It's very important. And the last thing we are told about Job is that he eschewed evil. He avoided evil. He avoided evil. That's why in Job chapter 1 verse 4 to 5, the Bible says, his sons and his daughters, they went feasting on specific dates, of the month. And Job will say, peradventure, they have sinned. And he will do what? He will make sacrifices for them. He was a priest of the house that was cognizant of the needs of the household. Every time Job was a man that avoided evil. Some of us, evil to us is like a magnet. Is that not so? Even when evil does not look for you, what do? You look for evil. I think I should show these people who I am. Yes, so they don't understand me. They don't understand me. Let me show them where I come from. I will show them, say, I be true Niger man. You are looking for evil. They may never find out what you have done, but who knows and who sees? There is a God in the heavens that reigneth in the affairs of mankind. What was God's response to Job, to his testimonies? Number one, the Bible tells us that God made an edge about Job. What is an edge? Is simply a protection. God ensured that wherever Job went, he was protected. If you have the testimony of Job, brethren, your protection is assured. Irrespective of where you are. Not only was Job protected, the Bible says his house was protected. Everything he had on all sides was protected. So Job enjoyed protection for himself, protection for his house, protection for his possessions. And it wasn't God that was saying it. Who was saying it? He said, Uncle Satan. God, you have made a hedge around about him. And he wanted to be specific. He said, we can't even touch his house. We can't even enter into his house. That should make somebody happy. That if you are a child of God, the devil cannot even do what? He can't even enter your house. He'll be looking at you from afar. He'll be desiring your downfall, but you will not fall in Jesus' name.
Amen.
If you realize where you stand and refuse to dance to his tune, say, God had made an edge about all that he had on all sides. All sides. And then he went on and said, God bless the work of Job's hands. I pray for someone today. God will bless the work of your hands.
Amen.
I said, God will bless the work of your hands.
Amen.
In other words, like someone said, he said, whatsoever he doeth, it shall what? It shall prosper. Whatsoever you lay your hands upon will prosper in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And so the Bible says, consequently, Job's substance increased in the land. Increased in the land. Because of the testimonies of Job, God ensured that Job became a testimony. That even the devil looked at Job and said, ah, that one is a no-go area. And he couldn't complain to any man. He went before God. I want to give someone assurance here today. God knows that you are able to overcome every onslaught of the devil. That's what the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. 1 Corinthians 10, 13. He said, there had no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. He said, God is faithful. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able? But we with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Whatever you may be passing through, whatever you may be going through, I know your situation is not like that of Job. You have not lost 10 children. And you will not lose 10 children in Jesus' name.
Amen.
You have not lost your wife. You may be here, your wife may be in Nigeria. She's not dead, neither are you dead. And none of you will die in Jesus' name.
Amen.
The challenges many of us face is maybe something related to work. You are looking for a job. And it looks as if the heaven is closing upon you. It's not the end of the world. You will get a job. Everybody that looks for a job, one day it becomes what? A testimony. When I came to this country and I was looking for work, I've shared this before. One day I sat down in my room and I was crying. I mean, I got everything I needed to get from Nigeria. I was a landed immigrant. Everything, and you know, I don't know what they say now. In those days, they used to say that Canada was the best place to live on earth. They were looking for accountants, doctors. They were even looking for messengers. Then when you get here now, and you will see advert for messenger, then you apply. And they say you're overqualified. People who are underqualified are not applying. But today it's a story. Is it not? I want to assure somebody here today, whatever difficulty you are going through, one day it will be a testimony.
Amen.
God knows you are able. Just don't be what they call a sellout. What does that mean? Don't sell God out. Don't compromise your standard because you want to get a job that will not glorify his name. Because even though you come here and say, praise the Lord, and I got a job, God will be looking at you and say, I don't know him. I don't know. I didn't give that one any job. In fact, he stole it. And he's coming to say, God gave me a job. Maybe I should ask someone a question as we round up this morning. Or, does God know you? Please ask your neighbor, does God know you? Because it's very important. Those things you are calling testimonies, are they testimonies to him? Or is he saying that one? In fact, I don't even know his name. And he's saying he's sharing a testimony. I don't know her name. And she says she's sharing a testimony. Why? Because she has gone to it her own way and not God's own way. It got to a point, brethren, that Job's wife came to him and said, are you still holding on to your integrity? Curse God and do what? And die. While most women will say, I don't want my husband to die. Whatever he's going through, I want him to do what? Because when there's life, the woman knew that it was God that was keeping her husband alive. She could not bear it anymore. She said, do what? Curse God. And what did Brother Job say? He said, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. That's Job 2, 9 to 10. He said, what? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. That's my challenge to you this morning, brethren. Whatever situation you are going through, whatever be the challenges, whatever the enemy has orchestrated against you, if you do not sin with your lips, you will come out of it gloriously. If you look at the situation of Job, when he came out of that situation, he was shining brighter. The Bible says he got twice of everything he lost. The Bible says he had three daughters before, he had three daughters after, but those daughters were the most beautiful in the land. There was no need to organize a beauty pageant because the winners were where? In the household of Job. That is the God we serve. He's a God that never fails. His situation was challenged in the court of heaven, but he stood true. He stood faithful unto God. Can God count on you? Can he count on you? When the times come, or are you one of those that will chicken out? In Job chapter 1, from verse 20 to verse 22, the Bible says, Job said, naked I came from my mother's womb. Naked will I return. The Lord giveth, the Lord has taken. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Verse 22 says, in all this, Job did not sin, nor charge God foolishly. Let's bow down our heads. Let's bow down our heads. Some of us here have a good repenting to do. You've been accusing God. You've been accusing God. Say, God, you told me before I came here, 1, 2, 3, 4, and you've done nothing. In fact, at a point, you have told him that you are tired. Then you went out and you saw me and you came back and you said you are sorry. Talk to him. He's your father. He knows what you are going through. But if you don't give up, there's victory ahead. There's victory ahead. You have not lost anything compared to all that Job lost. And yet, he didn't sin with his mouth. God was still able to say, this is my son. God was proud to be associated with Job. Are you here this morning or this afternoon? You've not given your life to Christ. That's why you can't appreciate what God is doing in your life. He has kept you up to this moment. But there's something, that thing called grace will not abide forever. If you don't make up your mind to be associated and known unto God. Are you in the house today? You are not born again. You want to say, Lord Jesus, I want to know you. Come into my life. If there's any such person you want to raise up your hand where you are, we're going to pray together. You are in the house today, you are not born again. I say, Lord, I give my life to you. Or maybe you are watching online and you are saying, this is my day of salvation. If Job could go through all that and he did not sin, what have I gone through? I want to know this God and I want him to know me. If you are watching and you want to make that declaration and say, Lord, this is my day. Just say with me, say, Lord Jesus, I come before the throne of mercy. I come asking for your grace. Touch me, O Lord. Write my name in the book of life. I want to start a covenant relationship with you from this day onwards. Accept me just as I am. Wash me with your blood. Cleanse me and make me whole. That from this day onwards, I may have even a better testimony than Job had because of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for we have prayed in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to our sermon here on Christ Chapel TV. Tune in next time for the next sermon. God bless you.